Bruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights. Wonderful to be back, not in the Heichal, but as we said a moment ago in Gan Ariel for the summer months, we are here. And it is wonderful. We haven't had a shiur for a number of weeks due to wonderful things, Pesach, but it is fantastic to be able to resume the Parsha Insights. So whether you're listening here live in Gan Ariel or you're listening live on the phone, or the many will hear the recording once it's sent out. The Shira said, Lezecha Nishmas Ula'ila Nishmas, your parents, Rebecca, Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel. May their Neshama Tahiris have a lichtig Gan Eden, and from the chizuk and inspiration, go higher and higher in Shemayim. Thank you for your sponsorship. Parshia is Tazria Mitzayra, double Parsha. Parsha Insights, really, really special. Thank you so much for checking there in the Heichal. Wonderful to be able to have Parsha Insights. And Be'ezras Hashem, let us go through the remainder of Sefer Vayikra, Gizuntehei, Kabbalenu L'Tayva, and become greater in our Avodas Hashem. Obviously, when dealing with Parsha Tazria Mitzayra, one of the main things that we touch upon each and every year in this year would be the idea of the Mitzayra, the leper, the Aveir of Lashon Hara, the power of speech. As I gave a shiur, I believe it was a year or two ago in the summer, and we called it Back to the Basics. Sometimes you need to go back to the basics. And you have to remind yourself of the ills and the devastation and sometimes the irreparable damage. I'll say that again, irreparable damage of Lashon Hara, Rechilos, Maitzi Shemra, Einos Devarim, how it shatters families, destroys kehilos, can disrupt relationships, shidduchim, partnerships, and sometimes that devastation is unfortunately beyond repair. So it is important, at least when we go through Tazria Mitzayra, to go back to the basics, to realize the devastation of speech that shouldn't be said, and of course, the power of proper speech, Dvorim Shebikdusha, speaking in a way that we should. I'd like to begin by sharing with you some thoughts, actually straight from your Sefer, Avnei Kodesh, the second volume. I must tell you, this, where you bring down the Kliyokar, the Meshech Chochma, and the Ben Ish Chai, Pile, 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 Playim, Ashrecha, the Pshatim are so fabulous. As you entitled it, there are lessons to learn from leprosy. When you take a look at the punishment and the purification process of the Mitzayra, obviously that helps atone for his Aveira brought about primarily because of Lashon Hara. But as we'll learn now from the Kliyakar, the Meshech Chochma, and the Ben Ish Chai, so please get all three down carefully, whether you're writing notes, Yingala, I'm so proud of your writing notes. Meyerdek, I think we get that in every week also. Or if you're writing on the blackboard of your heart, please take note of the Kliyokar, the Meshech Chochma, the Ben Ish Chai, and see the lessons that we could learn from the purification process. Take a look at the Kliyokar. He bases it on the Pasuk. Some of you have Chumashim. It was certainly worth, you don't have to get up to get a Chumash, but if you do have a Chumash, it's worth looking inside. The beginning of Parshas Mitzayra, the beginning of Parshas Mitzayra, Perek Yedalet, Pasuk Tes tells us that on the seventh day, the Mitzayra, as part of the second stage of his purification process, has to shave all of his hair. Yigalachas kol se'orei. But then it's interesting. Bob, you would certainly agree, one doesn't have to be a lawyer to know that all of his hair means all of his hair. Yet, if you're looking at Pasuk Tes found here in the Chumash on page 620, you'll see the Pasuk then enumerates specifically three, Reishai, Zekonai, and Gabais Einav, the hair on his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. And then it repeats again, all of his hair he has to shave off. So it's certainly interesting that if all of his hair is being shaven off, yet the Pasuk Yud Dalet Tes is enumerating three specific areas. As we said, and we'll repeat it again very quickly, Reishai, Zekonai, and Gabais Einav. That on his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. Why enumerate and single out three areas when the pasuk clearly says it's all of his hair? Listen to an extraordinary kliyakar. It's based on the Gemara in Erech and Daf Tes Zayin. This punishment of, if you will, of tzeiras, the three causes primarily of tzeiras. Of course, we know Lashon Hara, the evil speech. Additionally, based on the Gemara, Gasas HaRuach, arrogance. Arrogance. A terrible, terrible midah. And finally, the third one, Tzoros HaAyin. A Tzor Ayin is somebody who is selfish. Somebody who is a greedy, stingy person. Based on the Gemara, we see that the punishment of tzeiras comes about for those three causes. We'll repeat them again quickly. That of Lashon Hara, that of Gasus HaRuach, arrogance, and that for being a Tzor Ayin, a greedy, selfish, stingy person. Mary of Rabbeisa says the Kliyakar, if you take a look at the three areas that were singled out by the Pasuk, they allude to these three causes of tzeiras. The pasuk tells us that he has to shave the hair, reishai, that's on his head. The hair on the head, that represents the cause of gasus haruach, arrogance. Because when a person walks around arrogantly, the expression is they're walking around with their head held up high. And it's similar to the idea of miskabed b'klein chaveray. You put someone else down. You actually raise yourself up by putting someone else down. I remember once reading a beautiful vignette that it said that when the Vilna Gaon was but a little boy, perhaps 3 or 4, his parents told him to go outside and play. We call it today the seesaw. In those days, I'm sure it was called the teeter-totter, to go outside and to play on it. And the Vilna Gaon went outside as a little child and came back, but a moment later his parents asked him why he wasn't playing on the seesaw, and he said, I can't play on something that the way I raise myself up is by my friend being put down. In other words, that is the mechanism of how a seesaw works. When you on the opposite end are down, I am raised high. Something that I'm raised up because you're put down, that's something I can't be part of. That's really the abhorrent quality of miskabe b'klein chaveray, where you raise yourself up by putting another person down. This now we're referring to as arrogance, gasus haruach, the comment, oh, they're walking with their head held high. You belittle a person. You look down upon another person. The hair on your head, that head is a reference to gasus haruach, where one holds their head up high. What's the second area that the pasuk spoke about? Shaving zakano, the beard. The beard obviously has hair that's surrounding the mouth, and that hints at the aveira of lashon hara. And finally, the third part of the hair that's specified is gabos einav, the eyebrows. Obviously, the eyebrows being situated right upon, above the eye, hints at that of being a tzor ha'ayin, the narrowness of the eye, the stinginess, unwillingness to share with somebody else, a person who is a selfish person. So when the mitzvah shaves all of the hair, but specifically reishai, zekonai, and gabos einav, it's a reference to the three causes of tzeiras. And when the hair on the head is being shaved, that is to remind one of the cause of gasus haruach, arrogance, the head held up high. And the hair around of the beard around the mouth, the cause root, that being lashon hara. And the eyebrow being by the eye, representing the tzar eye and the stingy, selfish person, unwilling to share. A myridika kliyakar, who learns the lesson of the three areas that are enumerated and specified to represent the three causes that bring about tzeiras. How careful a person has to be. I would say the tzad hashava of these three, lashon hara, speaking negatively of a person, arrogance, belittling people, putting them down. The idea of being a selfish, stingy person, one who can't be there to help the other. The tzad hashava, the commonality between the three, is that the person is not only doing nothing to connect with a fellow yid, but certainly the opposite. Over Pesach, we mentioned, what would you say is the antithesis, literally the polar opposite of someone that has these three, the gasus haruach, the lashon hara, the tzar oyin? We spoke out a pshat from Reb Chaim Brisker that we'll quickly repeat. It was such an extraordinary pshat. The Gemara tells us regarding an arev. We often speak about an arev as a guarantor. Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh, how important it is to be a proper guarantor, responsible, which is really, if you think about it, as I said, the polar opposite of those three causes that bring about Torah. So we have to be an arev, kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh. But what type an arev? What type? There are different types of arev. Listen to an extraordinary, brilliant pshat, fabulous pshat from Reb Chaim Brisker. The Gemara tells us primarily there are two types of arev. There's an arev stam and an arev kablan. An arev stam, a regular type of guarantor and a loan, is of a lower level than the higher arev kablan. That is a deeper type of attachment. Basically, the halacha is a person is a lender, and he lends money to the person who borrows the money, and now the guarantor signs that you can come to me. Come to me when? If the person as a guarantor is merely the lower level, the arev stam, that means that when the lender goes to the borrower and the borrower cannot pay back, at that point you can go to the arev stam to collect the money. He took responsibility to repay if it couldn't be paid by the borrower. Not so in arev kablan. An arev kablan is such a deep level of guaranteeing and responsibility, a deep gefil of arevus, that the one who lends the money, the lender, even before he goes to the borrower to get his money back, he can go straight to you, the arev kablan, straight to you, the guarantor. Not so by an arev stam. You only go to the arev stam if the borrower defaults and can't pay back, but you can go to an arev kablan straight away. You, the lender, can, even before you approach the borrower, because the arev kablan is such a deep, deep sense of attachment to the loan. He takes responsibility for that loan, and he could be gone to first, even before the lender goes to the borrower. So Reb Chaim Brisker says, we Jews, when we are told as Yidden, Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh, what type of level of arevus is that? Fabulous question. Are we just told that it's enough to be the lower type? Okay, as long as we take care of each other as an arev stam, that's enough? Or is it our obligation to treat each other and be there for each other, kol yisrael arevim ze bazeh, on the deeper, more intense level of arev kablan? What a question. And Reb Chaim Brisker proves so beautifully that certainly when we are told Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, we have to have this deep level of attachment, of Arevus, of responsibility, of guaranteeing. It's an Arev Kablan, and he shows you from Halacha how this is so. We know that when it comes to different Birchas HaMitzvot, you make the Bracha Asher Kitchanu B'Mitzvot Tzivonu, you fulfill your obligation, I'll do it and you'll do it. What is the Halacha many times? If I already did that mitzvah, I fulfilled my obligation, but you did not yet fulfill your obligation. We know in certain situations, I am allowed to make the bracha, you'll answer amen, and then you'll go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. In other words, although I fulfilled the mitzvah already, I could make the bracha and help you fulfill that mitzvah. I'll make the bracha, you'll answer amen. Even though I already did the mitzvah, now you can through my bracha. Says Reb Chaim Brisker so powerfully, if our relationship was one of merely arev stam, the lower level, then whoa, that means my obligation is my obligation. Your obligation is your obligation. In other words, I have to fulfill my mitzvah. You have to fulfill your mitzvah. Not necessarily could I make a bracha to help you fulfill your mitzvah. except an Arif Stam means that if the other person doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, I have to be worried about his punishment, but not that I could per se make a bracha to help him fulfill his obligation. But if our level of connection, and if our level of responsibility, and our level of kol yisrael arevim zeh bazeh is arev kavlin, the deeper, more intense connection, then when you have that mitzvah, it's my obligation as well. It's not pshat that my mitzvah is my obligation and your mitzvah is your obligation. Your mitzvah is my obligation. It's my obligation. And if it's my obligation, that's the hezber and the svar and the rationale, how although I fulfilled my mitzvah, my fulfillment already, and I made a bracha, I can still make the bracha for you. You answer amen and you fulfill the mitzvah because your mitzvah is my obligation. Your fulfillment of the mitzvah is my obligation. We are indeed Arev Kablan. How it behooves us to go through Parshiyos Tazria Mitzayra and not just stay away from Lashon Hara and stay away from Gasos Haruach and stay away from being a Tsar Oyin, but we have to make sure that our relationship with each other is not merely an Arev Stam, but an Arev Kablan. Over Yom Tov I shared, I can't even say such a magnificent story, a priceless story. And it certainly impacted me on an even deeper level because you know how often I quote my father's Atzal and having been by the Chazon Ish well over 100 times. I saw this priceless story. Late one evening, the Chazon Ish was learning with a family member of his, as a chavrusa. It was late at night, the night was still and quiet, and the Chazon Ish stopped the learning for but a moment and said to the chavrusa's family member to answer the knock on the door, to which the chavrusa replied, he didn't hear any knock. The Chazon Ish said, there was a knock at the door, please go get the door. He went to get the door, and lo and behold, sure enough, when he opened the door, the chavrusa, the family member, saw that an elderly woman, it's a bracha, broken-hearted woman was there. He told her to come in, and she poured her heart out to the Gadol Hadar, to the Chazon Ish. He listened, of course, with sympathy and empathy, and she literally left a different woman. He gave her extraordinary chizuk. And she left, as I said, a moment ago with a much lighter heart. As they were about to resume learning, Chavrusa asked the Chazon Ish, of course, respectfully, Rebbe, I didn't hear any knocking at the door. You heard knocking at the door? So the Chazon Ish answered, in Yiddish I'll say it in English, the Chazon Ish answered, I may not have heard the knocking at the door, but I felt the beating of a broken heart. Now I want you to hear that comment again, because this was made by none other than the Gadol Hadar, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wasn't saying a cute comment or a quip or something light. The Chazon Ish was telling you a mitzius, a fact. It could be that I didn't hear the knocking at the door, but I felt the beating of the broken heart. If you listen carefully enough, if you're an Arev Kablan deeply enough, you will hear, you will feel, you will sense the beating of a broken heart. Dare I say, one who is only an Arev Stam hears the knocking on the door. But one who achieves the deeper level of Arev Kablan can work on perceiving and sensing the beating of a broken heart. And I think as we learn the Kli Yakar, who says that specifically it was the hair on the head and the beard and the eyebrows to show you the cause of Gasus Haruach, arrogance, and that of Lashon Hara, forbidden speech, and that of being a Tsar Ayin, a selfish person, it behooves us to remind ourselves to commit and recommit that when we are told Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, it's not merely to be an Arev Stam, but to become an Arev Kablan. Learn to train ourselves. Obviously, it's a very deep level, and it's something that we have to work a lifetime, but it's something we must aspire, not merely, of course, it's important to hear the knocking on the door, but additionally, to feel and to sense the beating of a broken heart. The Meshech Chochma tells us, if you take a look, I ask you to turn back just a bit to the end of Parashas Metzayir, page 616, if you're looking inside, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vav. I'll say that again, Yud Gimel Mem Vav. Part of the Metzayir's punishment, the Pasuk tells us, Bodod Yeshev Michutz LaMachaneh. The Pasuk tells us at the end of Mem Vav, he has to sit and he has to dwell in isolation. Bodod Yeshev Michutz LaMachaneh Meshavoi. His dwelling is outside the camp, and the stress of the Pasuk is he is to sit in isolation. The Meshech Chochma tells us that if you think, the Meshech Chochma says it vis-a-vis a tsar ayin, a selfish person, a stingy person, that person not only doesn't he want to share with others, he doesn't think about their needs. Obviously, not only are they not an Arev Kablin, they're not an Arev Stam, they're not any type of Arev. And when a person doesn't think of another, they don't share with others, they're causing themselves to distance themselves from others, and therefore, mida keneged mida, measure for measure, by your being a selfish, self-aggrandizement, stingy person, you separated yourself from others, now you have to dwell bodod, apart from others, in total isolation. Might I add for a moment on what the Meshech Chochma is telling us, that measure for measure, just as the Tzar Ayin caused others to distance themselves, you now sit in isolation and dwell on your own. The truth is that that's to a large degree what Lashon Hara accomplishes as well. Because as we said when we started the shiur, sometimes the damage is so devastating. I'm sorry to say it again, but it is irreparable. And that partnership, that business deal, that shidduch, the relationship among siblings now shattered. Your words of Lashon Hara splintered the family, the shidduch, the kehillah, whoever it might be. And the words of Lashon Hara sometimes cause people to feel alone, to literally think that they're going through something alone. Measure for measure, mida keneged mida. You who spoke Lashon Hara, where your words cause such isolation, such a breakdown amongst people, measure for measure, the Pasuk tells us that the person, bodod, yeshe, mechutz lamachana, sit in isolation, sit on your own, sit away from everyone else, because that's exactly what your words caused. And I do want to remind you, a number of years ago, we said something that I feel we have to quickly repeat. Sometimes the response to that might be, but it was just one comment. It was one word, one comment. Take it easy. We often speak, especially around the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, about the Kategor and the Sanegor. The Kategor is the prosecutor against you, the prosecutor. The Sanegor, the defendant, the one that's there on your behalf. And very often we speak on Rosh Hashanah how we would like the angels and those to be there for us as a sanegar and not a kategar, as our defendant and our friend, and not chalul to prosecute against us. You know, when we envision, at least when I envision in my mind the kategar and the sanegar, I envision two people, two beings, a polar opposites. You envision the Sanegar being the one who defends on your behalf, the friend, and you envision the Kategor to be overwhelmingly evil, etc. I did quickly the gematria of the word, the numeric value of Kategor and Sanegar. The gematria of Sanegar is 329. The gematria of Kategor is 328. And I was astonished. The entire difference between the Kategor and the Sanegor, the prosecutor and the defendant, is just one. because sometimes it's the just one word, one sarcastic comment, one cynical thing that you had to get in. The difference between the kateger and the sanegar, the difference between cohesiveness and unity, and the divisiveness and the breaking and the splintering sometimes, like kateger and sanegar, the numeric value, the difference, I don't know, I expect the difference to be thousands. The difference is just one. Because sometimes it is just one, that one word that makes a difference between there being unity, shalom and reus, or you who cause people to feel so isolated and alone. And now because of that just one, you yourself as just one sits badad, yeshev, chutz lamachan. And finally, the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai actually draws multiple lessons from the Mitzrayim's purification process. I just, with the last few minutes of the shir, want to focus on just one of them. And I think there's such a fabulous lesson for us to learn. The Ben Ish Chai is addressing that part of the Mitzrayim's purification process is the washing of his clothing. And in a physical sense, a person has a stain on a soiled garment and you have to wash it in the olden days in a sink, today in a washing machine. When physically washing the soiled garment, we know quite often that sometimes that initial washing will take out the largest amount of dirt, and very often you will need subsequent washings to take out a deeply embedded stain, another washing, you might even need some scrubbing, because the impression left by the original dirt is still there. With that idea of physically washing, the Ben Ish Chai tells us so powerfully, sometimes we have to wash the spiritual fabric of our neshama. We know when a person does an aveir, when a person does a sin, that will sully our neshama. And as a result, what's needed? Just like I told you a moment ago, there's the physical washing of the clothing. Sometimes to go ahead to cleanse the soul, to cleanse the neshama from the way you soiled it because of that aveira, it is necessary to wash it. And sometimes that initial washing isn't enough. It needs repeated washing. Obviously, the washing would be represented by different levels of tshuva and repentance. But here the Ben Ish Chai tells us something so brilliant. Sometimes when a person has the stain of a blatant aveira or a gross aveira, sometimes all that's needed to cleanse the fabric of the soul is one washing. And by that the Ben Ish Chai means because the magnitude of the aveira was so great that commensurate with that, the person realizes and is so overwhelmed by the mistake that their vidui, their tshuva, their confession, their wanting to repent is so genuine and so heartfelt and so sincere and so extraordinary that sometimes that initial washing, that initial spiritual washing, is enough to remove the soil and to cleanse the soul. But that's when the aveira is the one that was so gross and so blatant and so overwhelming and so obvious. But the Ben Ish Chai then talks about a more subtle aveira. Either it's subtle because it's something you perform frequently, commonly, or maybe it's a type of aveira that just gets trampled on. You know, it usually goes with words like, that's an aveira? That's a sin? I'll bring you a beautiful pshat in a moment from the Ben Ish Chai, from the Baal Shem Tov, to drive home this concept so beautifully. But because these aveiros to you may not necessarily be really aveiros, either because they're done frequently or because they're second nature or because, no, it's aveira. So therefore your tshuva, your sincerity will be less. And if your initial washing, i.e. with tshuva and vidui and repentance, was not so genuine and not so sincere to fully remove that type of stain, additional work is needed. Additional effort is needed. Wash it again and again. And the Yetzer Hara constantly tries to fool us in this area. It's not really an Aveira, because if he can successfully fool us that it's not really an Aveira, then proportionate to that, my tshuva, my vidui, my repentance will lack in genuineness and sincerity, and it will need to be washed again and again. Based on a pshat from the Heilige Baal Shem Tov, there's a Gemara that tells us in Shabbos that when a person, hashoichet, mishuma mechay, mishum tzeveya, one who does shechita on Shabbos, what is it that he has violated? The Gemara says tzeveya. Tzeveya means that he has colored. As a result of the blood coming out from the shechita and coloring different things, that is the violation of tzeveya. Based on the Heilige Baal Shem Tov, the Gemara could be understood differently as well. The Gemara will repeat again quickly, ask Shaychit, the one who does Shlita, the slaughterer, what is it that he violated? So they are coloring. Based on the Heilige Baal Shem Tov, the Gemara could be understood as, who is the perpetual Shaychit? Who is the perpetual slaughterer? None other than the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the Shaychit par excellence. He always tries to get to commit aveiros. In fact, that's his job. So mishuma mechayev. Why then are we responsible? In other words, he's doing his job. So not only why are we responsible, how is it that he successfully gets us to commit aveiros? Like, we're smart, intelligent people. Why do we sometimes make the same mistake again and again? How is he so successful as being a shaychet against us? You know what the Gemara answers? Mishum tzeveya. He colors a picture. He paints a picture. He uses us as his tapestry. He uses us to do his artistic work, and he colors a picture. What does it mean to color a picture? It goes something like this, says the Baal Shem Tov. He leads you to believe that a mitzvah is really an Aveira. And the Aveira, it's really a mitzvah. Sometimes it starts like this. I know you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. Hello, I listened to the shir. I learned Parshiyas Tazria Mitzvira. I know you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, but about her, it's Mamash Mitzvah. I know her. If you would know her like I know her, it's Mamash Mitzvah. Tzeveya, 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 tzeveya. He colors a picture, he paints a picture. Oy, I know that I'm earning the money unethically. I know what I'm doing, I shouldn't be doing, it's true. But you know how much tzedakah I'm going to give? Oh, ay, 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 I'm going to give so much tzedakah. He's a tzeveya par excellence, and that's how he becomes the sheikhet. He paints a picture. The mitzvah is an aveira, the mayor is a mitzvah. We're laughing, but we know how true it is. And that says the Ben Ish Chai is what the Yetzer Hara tries to do. He tries to tell you that the Aveira is not really an Aveira at all. And if you believe it's not really an Aveira, then how much spiritual washing are you going to do? Minimal? Insincere? Lacking genuineness? Because if you don't think it's a big Aveira, you're not going to put so much Kayach into the Tshuva. And so the Ben Ish Chai says, when we learn that part of the process, the purification of the Mitzvah, is to wash the clothing, it reminds us we must spiritually wash the clothing, the fabric of our soul, again and again with tshuva and vidui and repentance, sincere and genuine, to bring out the beauty of our neshama tahira. Mayrai v'rabaisai. Tonight we went back to the basics. Tonight we learned lessons from the Mitzvah. Let's remember those lessons. Let's commit ourselves to being an Arev Kablan. Let's be Zaycha to fulfill the words of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebes. And as we've said in the past, we'll end with the brach of the Radomsky Rebbe. In Shir HaShirim it says, Hashmi'ini es koylech ki koylech Arev. I'll listen to your voice because you have a sweet voice. The Radomsky Rebbe says the word Arev doesn't only mean sweet, like the Harivna. The word Arev also means Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazes, a voice of responsibility. Hashmi Ini Es Koylech. Hashem says, when will I listen to your voice? Ki Koylech Arev. When you have a voice of responsibility, when you're an Arev, when we achieve the level of Arev Kablan, then we'll be Zoicha that all of our heartfelt tefillos will be answered.